When you can't agree on what to order or you're settling for whatever, mealtime can be a major. That's where Wonder comes in. Download the app for access to everything you're craving. Mix and match hundreds of freshly prepared dishes from menus by renowned chefs, delivered in one order. Say goodbye to compromise. From poke bowls to filet mignon, it's all on Wonder. Order fast, free delivery, or pick up and dine in at a Wonder location near you. Wonder, the cravings expert. Get the app today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Two balls, two strikes, two down with the bases loaded. Chapman, he is ready. He throws. Fastball, swung on and missed. He got him. Chapman leaves the bases loaded. And the Red Sox win game one, 3-1 in the Bronx.
Well, these are your three guys you went out and got for games like this. Not only are they going to get you here, they're going to get you through games in the postseason. Bregman coming up with a big one. Crochet just doing what he does. That was unbelievable. And then a four-out save and facing the top of this dangerous Yankee lineup. Bases loaded, no outs, and getting through it.
Took game one here at Yankee Stadium. That is a beautiful thing.
High noon, Jones and Keith here on WEEI. That was Will Fleming last night with the call of game one. Back on the call tonight, game two, first pitch 6:08. Pre-game coverage beginning just after 5 o'clock here on your home for the Red Sox, WEEI. And hopefully you can listen to Will all postseason long. He joins us here on Jones and Keefe. Will Fleming, thanks for jumping on.
Hey, my pleasure. I hope it's a long ride, too. How are you guys?
Great.
Oh, we're doing well after last night.
Holy
smokes,
what a night.
Oh, baby. I don't think I fell asleep till about 3 a.m., so hopefully you're a little more rested than I am.
Well, we're nice and rested, I feel like. It was early,
the early
game
start
last
time
night.
Helped in that regard.
Yeah, no, it sure did. Yeah. We saw vintage Garrett Crochet, one of the best singular postseason performances from a Red Sox pitcher, depending on how you slice that one down. What did he give the Red Sox last night? What did you think of the decision to stick with him, and how far can he take him?
Wow. I'll get into the first part first. I from the beginning of things, you felt like they were going to need to ride him, right? I mean, the roadmap to winning this series was, without Giolito, with uncertainty after even Connolly early, they needed a long one from Crochet, and he gave them that. But he gave them more than that, too, right? I mean, Volpe hits the home run, and then he sends down 16 in a row. You said it about singular performance in Red Sox history, and I think it certainly was that, right? I mean, 11 strikeouts, he was just awesome. But I think, as you guys know, so much about sports and so much about the all-time legends, and I'm not trying to get ahead of things here, but you see these markers of guys early in their time. And I thought for sure that was one of those for Crochet last night. Like, to come into this environment, this lion's den, and he just all day. I was around him. You know, I saw him at about 1 o'clock in the hotel, and he looked like he wanted to kill somebody. And then you see him at 4 o'clock, and he looks like it's no big deal. I'm about to go out there and do what I've done all year long, and sure enough, I mean, you guys saw the look in his eyes on the mound. Like, to me, that's the other part of this thing, right? It's not that he did it one time. It's that he looks like a guy who can do it 100 times. And I just thought to do it in the way that he did it in Yankee Stadium, to shut those fans up, to do what he did in the biggest moments, to respond the way that he did, he can take them as far as any pitcher in baseball can take any team. Now, what happens, you know, in a 5-game and in a 7-game series, that's a conversation we can have a little bit later. But, you know, I mean, Scooble's awesome, right? But I think they're 1 and 1A. And I think if you asked every general manager in the sport who they'd like to have, Those would be the two guys everybody would choose. So it is phenomenal that the Red Sox have one. And, the word ace is thrown around, I think, a little too loosely in baseball. This dude checks every meaning of that word, which is when you need a stopper to end a losing streak, he's going to do it. And my God, what a huge performance that was last night in a must-win playoff environment. He was everything you could want.
Yeah, I think he's been the best starter in baseball all season. I also think Chapman's been the best closer in baseball all season. But I'm curious where you come down on the outside of just three outs to get for Chapman, because I think for one inning, he's the best in baseball. But I don't know if I feel the same way, maybe just because we haven't seen it, where like Keith Falk would get you six outs and, you know, Koji Uehara would certainly get you six outs. What do you think about the usage of Chapman right away going with him in the eighth inning?
Well, it's not Kimbrel, where if you asked him to get more than three outs or you brought him in the eighth inning, it was going to be nine runs earned.
True.
But this is a different thing. You know, I love that they did it last night, and here's why, guys. I know that it's not his normal routine, and maybe it showed some signs of that in the ninth inning. Although the cool thing about him is it doesn't matter, right? Like, you can load the bases, and he'll still get out of it like he did last night. He worked around a leadoff double the other night when they clinched on the Sadon swing. The reason I loved it last night is Ben Rice is a badass. And one of the subscripts of this entire series is that Alex Cora is a better manager than Aaron Boone is. And Aaron Boone has done a nice job here in New York, and he deals with so much pressure, and their roster is flawed. But in a big spot in a playoff series, Cora is awesome. And he knows that if he can get through a game without Ben Rice being a part of it, well, that's a huge win for them. And with Caballero on deck, if you get Whitlock on the mound, then Rice is going to come on. And I think the Whitlock piece of things is interesting on two levels, right? Number one, you want Whitlock fresh for tonight and tomorrow because you might need him both nights. You can't use both those guys three nights in a row. They would, but I think they prefer not to. But most of all, you wanted to keep Rice on the bench because they're not going to pinch it for the top three guys in their order. They're just not going to do that with Ben Rice. He's killed the Red Sox, Rice, all year long. I thought it was very smart to keep him out of the game. So I liked it in that spot. I understand what you're saying, that it's a little different for Chapman, but that was the reason to make that move, and I loved it.
What do you think the availability is tonight for a guy like Chapman? Do they go back to him normal? Do they try to steer clear from him because they didn't use Whitlock last night? I mean, everybody else is available because Chapman's the only guy to go. What do you think his level of availability is tonight?
A little bit of both, Adam. I would say that he's available, definitely. And if it's a one-run game, he's going to pitch. I mean, the Red Sox, that's the other thing about Cora in these spots. And it's what Bruce Bochy does. It's what all these guys, the great postseason manager, understands. I'm worried about today, and I'll get to tomorrow, right? Like, if Alex Cora, swear to God, if he needed to go to Connolly early tonight to win a game and end the Yankee season, he might well do it. I mean, that's just the mentality. But they'd like to stay away from him if they can because, you know, they got bigger aspirations. They'd like to keep him fresh for Toronto and maybe even Seattle and beyond. But the answer to your question is he's up, he's available, and they'll go to him if they need to. That's just the nature of the beast this time of year. So he's ready to go, and I wouldn't put anything past him.
Another lefty on the mound tonight for the Yankees. Do you trot out the same starting lineup for the Red Sox, or do you make a tweak?
I think they do it again. I really do, which is interesting, right? I mean, who would have ever had on their playoff bingo card that Nick Sogard and Nate Eaton are starting a game at Yankee Stadium? And by the way, both of them were great and had, you know, big roles to play in the game as they have all week. I think they'll do it again. It's amazing that this team right now, their best lineup in a lot of ways is against left-handers. And let's be clear, guys, Rodon is not Max Fried. I mean, he can be really good, and he's got some electric stuff, but the Red Sox, I think he's got like an ERA north of five against Boston this year and in his career. So he'll make mistakes, Rodon. I thought Fried was phenomenal last night. Again, that's what made what Crochet did so special because Fried was up for it. And they were going back and forth with each other. The one thing that interests me, Alex Cora sort of hinted at this last night, is that he might stick with Narvaez in there, even though Connor Wong has kind of been Bayo's like primary best buddy catcher. So that would interest me. I think usually when Alex tips his hand like that, he is going to make a move like that and he just gets ahead of it a little bit. So I would expect maybe Narvaez stays in there, but that would be the one thing I could maybe foresee that could be a little bit different that Wong could start. But otherwise, why not? Why not ride with Ref Snyder? I think Romy is something to watch, by the way, guys. That's another one. Like, the decision to stick with Sogard when he gets that big hit, at the time we're going, oh, my God, that is like managerial pixie dust. Alex Cora, what a smart move. And that he's done plenty of that to earn that kind of praise. I think the reason he did that last night, which is pretty clear, is that something's going on with Romy Gonzalez. And that's why he stuck with a Sogard in that spot so that he could use Lowe for Romy a little bit later. And almost it paid off in a big way with Lowe hitting that ball to Judge in, right? So that's one to watch, too. But, I think that it's going to be a very similar lineup tonight.
Well, that's interesting because I didn't pick up on the Romy situation, despite what we know he's been dealing with down the stretch. Will Fleming, voice of the Red Sox, joining us here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. You gave us the Rodon numbers. He's 1-2 this year, ERA approaching 6 against the Red Sox, 10 walks in over 15 innings. The one guy he does have success against, and maybe they're running out of bodies if a guy like Romy they got to go away from tonight, Duran has not hit him at all. Duran is 0 for his life against Max Fried tonight. You expect, it sounds like, Duran back in there. Is that the right call?
I think so, only because of the way the roster is. Like, if Roman Anthony or anybody else were available, I think this would be a game you give Duran off, at least to start. But I think they'll ride with him. They've just had too many guys fall a little bit here. And, I wouldn't put any money on Duran, against Rodon necessarily. But I think the defense matters. I mean, is it possible that he would go with somebody like Yoshida, right, to try to find a little magic? I guess so. But I think, again, in these playoff spots, he likes to have the options late in games. Like, I think the great manager thinks about having a bullet in the chamber for late in games to pick the right matchup against somebody like Weaver or Duvall or Bednar or Devin Williams with Yoshida. And then the game-long defense of Duran in left field. It might not always be conventional. He makes me nervous so often when he's out there in left field. But he does tend to end up making plays that Yoshida would not. So I think in a pressurized environment like this, they'll probably ride the defense of Duran. But you're right. I mean, he has not had success against Rodon. You don't feel that comfortable with him against the lefty.
Brian Baio making his postseason debut tonight, and certainly with Giolito going down and the uncertainty of what game three, and if we really advance in the playoffs, a game three or game four starter might even look like, Brian Baio's importance has kind of really shot towards the top as well, and coming off clearly his best regular season that he's ever had.
Yeah, no doubt. Isn't that the truth, right? I mean, now the Red Sox are going into tonight and tomorrow and any series to follow with basically two starters. I mean, we can all talk about how Connelly early looks good, and he does, but it's thin after him, and I don't know who's up next. I don't know what healthy bodies are available after Connelly to take the ball and make starts, but this is an enormous spot for Baio, and you guys, I know, are aware of his success this year against the Yankees and in this ballpark, but it's not been very good the last month. And so this is kind of a swing start for Baio. Does the progress that he made this year, does the maturity that he showed, is that on display tonight? Because it will need to be. I mean, the thing that has been frustrating about him for a couple of years now went away for the most part this year, and that is that he just lets things get to him. And whether it's an error or a walk or even a double with a big lead, he tends to pinch and nibble and walk guys, and what should be a one-run game becomes a three or a four-run game. And against this team in this ballpark with all that's on the line tonight, that cannot happen. And so Alex Cora is going to watch him closely. I expect him to really have a bounce back and to pitch very well. There's something about this lineup, this matchup, Judge and Stanton and all these right-handed sluggers. He just pounds them with sinkers. He sees the pinstripes and he pitches very well. But again, I can promise you that if he's not good, he's out of the game. I mean, the Red Sox are not going to mess around tonight. If it's the third or fourth inning and Baio's walking guys and has that look where he's frustrated and, huffing and puffing on the mound, Cora's coming out and Baio will be taken out of the game. So I think that's definitely an enormous sort of sidebar. No, it's not a sidebar. It's one of the huge plot lines of tonight.
Well, you mentioned Baio has been great against the Yankees this year, ERA below 2, but his September ERA, and that includes a rough start at Fenway against the Yankees, is about 5.5. So we'll watch that tonight. I know all of New York is watching Aaron Boone. You're there. Do you think if the Red Sox eliminate them tonight, tomorrow, do you think he's gone?
Oh, man. You know, I've thought that for a few years, and I'm not totally sure, because it sure seems that they, as an organization, an ownership group with the Steinbrenners and Brian Cashman, have decided that he's the guy for this place and this job. And I think there are reasons to think that. It is a different animal here. There's so much pressure. But there are a lot of markets that are tough and hard. And if he loses to Alex Cora with the better roster and the deeper team at home in a wild card series, I think given the way this season has gone, the pressure would ratchet up big time. Again, I think with a lot of other owners, Adam, he would be out. Like, I think, and certainly if George had been here, right, yeah, he would have been gone 3 years ago. I mean, he wouldn't be in the dugout tonight. And it puts all of us in a weird spot, because he is a wonderful guy. I think Aaron has done a really nice job here in New York, and he's a friend of all of ours. But I do think, and you do wonder, if they fall again in the postseason, whether the Yankees have got to make a very tough choice. Because, you know, you watch this, you saw Jazz Chisholm last night, right? And the back to the media, yeah, they're asking him why he didn't start the game. Do you think that would ever, ever, ever happen with an Alex Cora managed player? No. I mean, it's about communication. Well, that's a good point. Yeah, but
starting
he's gone,
now,
right?
Yeah. So, yeah, it's true. He's gone. So, yeah, starting out this group, no. I wouldn't see it.
Yeah, on this roster. So, the thing, too, is, guys, listen, players win games. And they're to be held accountable in these big spots. They just are. Yeah. But that doesn't excuse all of the base running stuff and all the bad defense and all of the lack of accountability. Like, Aaron Boone might be the greatest behind closed doors manager in the history of the sport. And he might be holding guys to the fire to say, we got to be better. And I've heard in some circles that he does that. But do you guys think that shows out on the field? I don't.
No,
I mean,
No.
The crazy thing is they're the worst good team I've ever watched, really. Like,
yeah.
they didn't do it last night, but over and over again all year long, I couldn't believe the stupid things this team did. Now, that might get clipped. It might go all over the place. But people in New York know that. They watch this team every day. Like, they do things. They didn't last night quite as much, but I wouldn't put it past them in the next night or two to make a bad defensive play, to do things that are crazy on the base pass. And by the way, that's the other part of this thing. Do we think the Jazz Chisholm really wants to face Garrett Crochet? That's part one. Part two, he's the king of the game is pressurized, and there's so much on the line, and I'm going to make a terrible base running decision just because I feel like I want to steal a bag here. So it's a really interesting question. I do think if they lose in the first round, that it, not only is it going to be a big conversation, I think this might be kind of a tipping point here.
How was the Red Sox fan turnout there in Yankee Stadium? Because another reason to listen to you and Lou and Middlebrooks is the TV broadcast was a mess for a variety of reasons. Like, the sound was
yeah,
off.
It
they
was
coming
so
back
bad,
late
Will.
From
so
break,
bad, yeah.
Let alone the commentary, which people can take it or leave it. But I was just trying to get a sense. Like, they would show every once in a while, like, Red Sox fans in the crowd or when some big play would happen. But what would you say? We've seen, unfortunately, at Fenway times where, you know, the road team has kind of come in and been pretty loud. What percentage would you say Sox fans there last night?
First of all, there are a lot of reasons to listen to our broadcast.
Right.
Come on.
That's
but
right.
Second of all, I don't know if you guys heard about the ticketing debacle yesterday.
Yep.
So they did this thing where they try to, you know, reverse engineer it. And if you don't have a credit card billing zip code that is in the New York area, you can't buy tickets. Well, I think they had like 6,000 tickets unsold last night. So, you know, it's the ultimate overthink, and isn't that a beautiful thing? It was hilarious. We left the ballpark and we took the train home because it's impossible to get an Uber, and if you sit there in traffic, it can be like 90 minutes from the Bronx to downtown Manhattan. And I wouldn't say there were a lot of Red Sox fans there last night. You can hear them in certain spots, the big strikeouts from Crochet and Chapman. However, those that were there, we could hear after the game. You know, I mean, it was people, I couldn't believe these, I mean, I've got young kids now, and I was just thinking to myself, they're like these 22-year-old kids in Red Sox jerseys playing dirty water on the train back into New York. And I'm thinking, my God, like, I'm going to sit my 7-year-old down when I get home and be like, buddy, let's here's a life lesson. You know, when you're outnumbered 700-1, yeah, let's take it easy.
Very cool.
On the train and leaving the stadium. But They were certainly, and that's the other thing, guys. It was so beautiful to be in that place and shut it up. I mean, there's just no better feeling. And I being here reminds me of what's going on. And I'm sure you guys are seeing all the clips of all the, you know, everybody now, like, it's such a weird world. I mean, look, I love Hogdale in the same way you guys do. I'm going to see him tonight after the game, by the way.
Nice.
Big break. But it's amazing how it's like this cottage industry that everybody in the world like watches these games with a phone or a computer, watching them watch them and scream. And so you guys have seen all these Yankee fans melt down.
Oh yeah.
And like that's an awesome, hilarious thing in and of itself, but it does happen in their ballpark too. And if you think about their fan base, like what their mindset is going into tonight and going into the future. Like, first of all,
they're crapping a brick, Will.
Oh yeah,
they are.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
And it's at the Red Sox expense too. Like, I've talked to Yankee people now for 10 months that have said, we do not want you in the playoffs. And I think their fans think that too. It's palpable in the ballpark. So they are on edge, that's for sure.
Okay. Will Fleming, excellent call last night. Check him out tonight for Game 2 with Lou and Brooksy. Hopefully no Game 3. No offense, Will.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we can move on to Toronto over the weekend.
Yeah.
We're good. I've mandated that Lou is going to eat his bacon again this morning. We're gonna do all the right things. All the things we can control, we will.
Okay. Tell him to crisp that bacon up. Yeah. I heard it was a little floppy this morning. But, Will, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thanks,
my
Will.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you.
All right. Will Fleming, voice of the Red Sox. Check him out at Will Fleming on Twitter. It's the craziest thing that I still can't.
The Yankee fans are terrified of the Red Sox. It is wild.
My brain won't let it happen.
No.
My brain from my youth won't let it happen that Yankees fans are afraid of the Red Sox. I know it's reality, but my brain still can't wrap its head around it.
No, it took like 20 years being a fan where it was like you just hated the Yankees so much and the Yankees would always win. And if they didn't beat you, they'd beat somebody else and they'd be on their way to the World Series and they would take players that you wanted away from the team that you wanted or even guys right off the team. Like the whole thing, you couldn't stand them.
Right. We became Diamondbacks fans and Marlins fans root for them to lose
in
the
Luis
World Series.
That Luis Gonzalez hit up the middle is like one of the greatest memories I have of a sports fan. And it was the freaking Diamondbacks. And I was like, but I love that. I can watch it.
Who did Beckett tag out running up
exactly.
First
Beckett.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The Red Sox got him. You're like, I
love this guy. Go Marlins. Yeah. Go fish. It's snakes. Yeah, it's horrible. But now you had to hear it because we had Keith McPherson on yesterday from The Fan. He's like, yeah, we don't want to play the Red Sox.
Yeah, we're due.
We don't want to play the Red
Sox. Said
Red Sox
due.
Own us. Yeah, they're due. They're due against
they're
the Red
due.
Sox. Awesome.
But it's right. My brain still won't allow myself to think this way, but the Red Sox have won 9 of 10.
Yeah.
They have a winning record all time in the playoffs against the Yankees. If they take care of business tonight, or hopefully not, but tomorrow.
Yep.
Then it's 4 straight playoff series against the Yankees.
Because it's funny, because the Red Sox, even in this time, though, the last 15 years, the Red Sox have had some horrible seasons along the way.
Yep.
And the Yankees would make the playoffs.
They always have a winning record.
They usually make
the playoffs.
But then they would lose to the Astros or something. They'd lose to one of those teams. And then the few times that the Red Sox saw them, obviously 04, the most famous, but then in 18 along that way, and then 21, and then the one gamer, you're like, look at that. Like, they have the better of them. And then the Yankees don't really care when the Red Sox have a bad season. But the Yankees haven't been able to win. It's amazing.
When you can't agree on what to order or you're settling for whatever, mealtime can be a major. That's where Wonder comes in. Download the app for access to everything you're craving. Mix and match hundreds of freshly prepared dishes from menus by renowned chefs, delivered in one order. Say goodbye to compromise. From poke bowls to filet mignon, it's all on Wonder. Order fast, free delivery, or pick up and dine in at a Wonder location near you. Wonder, the cravings expert. Get the app today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They're up on their feet at Yankee Stadium. 3-2, the pitch is strike three called! 100 miles an hour at the bottom of the zone. And the last pitch Crochet throws tonight is his 11th strikeout, and he mows him down in the Bronx. What an outing for the Red Sox A's.
You see that, Aaron Boone? Do you see? You can stick with your starter.
Careful.
Longer than 102 pitches. Yes, it is October. And I give Cora all the credit for that. Now, I'm also one of these people who blames Cora when he yanks a starter too early in the game. I don't kick that upstairs and cry about Craig Breslow and the big, mean,
analytics.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Baseball ops, the analysts up there. I don't blame them. I blame Cora. I give Cora credit for that last night. But I guess if you're the type to blame Breslow for it in the regular season, then you must be giving him a lot of credit today. I haven't heard any of that. But Cora stuck with his guy, leaned on him, pushed the right buttons. Although it was interesting to hear Will say he thinks something was going on with Romy, which was part of why Cora stuck with Sogard. Because I think that was the real masterstroke last night. Going to Yoshida and Lowe and some of those other guys was so obvious. We were talking about it during our show yesterday. Yeah. Like, I think that was beyond obvious. Sogard was a tough one.
Yes, maybe it was injury. Maybe it was also Sogard had had, what, one hit prior to that hit, right?
Yep.
And Romy had not. So maybe it was a little bit of that. Maybe he just felt a little bit better about
Sogard
it.
Sogard had the hit from the right side. He turned around and had the big hit where he's motoring out of the box.
Holy smokes.
From
what
the left
play.
Side. It
oh, like, and honestly, like of all people, like we've sort of glossed over that. But Nick Sogard, like we needed your list of guys that were going to impact the series or even just the season going back to the beginning of the year. He wasn't on anybody's list.
No.
Where he came up, it was like Nicholas John Sogard, and then he finally dropped it. Remember?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was
the three
him.
Names.
Nicholas John Sogard.
It was like John Parker Romo.
It was. Yeah. He's like, guys, don't. Just cool it.
Just,
like, I know it sounds weird. Just call me Nick Sogard.
So, no, that was an unbelievable play. And I didn't know that Johnny Damon was playing right field for the Yankees. I didn't know Judge couldn't throw.
Pop it in.
Like, earlier in the season, Boone was like, we don't know if Judge will throw again this year.
Because well, the thing was, they wanted to put him at DH, but Stanton can't play the field. So they have like two DHs.
I was just going to say, I read an item this morning that's like, do the Yankees need to put Stanton in right field? I'm like,
sure.
For their sake, I hope not.
Let's see it.
Stanton in right field. But yeah.
But that's another advantage. And clearly the scouting report was there. The guys were told about it, whether you want to give it Cora, the bench coaches, whatever. They made it very clear, like, look, you hit a little snort out to right field, look for second base because this guy can't get it in.
Well, and I think that's fair. And I've criticized Cora about bad base running, but the base running was good last night. And so I guess I'll give him credit for that. Like Sogard motoring, taking advantage of, again, noodle arm Johnny Damon / Aaron Judge in right field. Story steal last night was an incredible slide as well.
Awesome.
And that allowed you to get the insurance run, which I guess technically wasn't necessary, but it made you feel a lot better when Chapman loaded the bases.
Oh my God. It would have been even crazy. I mean, think about how everybody felt at the bottom of the ninth as it was, but if it was 2-1, bases loaded, nobody out. Terrifying. Yeah, they needed that
run. Sent Goldschmidt if it was if they needed.
There you go. That's also true.
That's a great point too.
Butterfly effect on that. Things might have been very different.
So that was a huge play by Story. Their base running was great. They were dialed in, and that is the manager. I know people never want to blame the manager for anything. I do when it goes wrong, but last night I give him credit. The other side was Boone.
Oof.
Pulling Fried at 102 pitches. He's getting victimized.
Rodon might throw 200 tonight, depending on what the score is.
Well, he might, but if he pitches the way he's pitched against the Red Sox all year, he's going to get his face ripped
off. But it's a dumb move for two reasons. Like, if you haven't been following the Yankees closely, first of all, don't blame you. And second of all, their bullpen, they tried to improve it. They added some guys. Some have pitched okay, but overall, it's not good. They put the stats right up there for you. In baseball, 23rd bullpen ERA. So it's not like you're taking a guy out after six innings and you're like, here we go. We got like Mariano Rivera and John Wetland ready for you. Like,
right.
Those guys aren't there. You don't have that.
You don't have Whitlock and Chapman.
It's,
you have
three innings of a tightrope.
You have a bunch of guys who have struggled. So we told you this yesterday. The Red Sox have the second best bullpen ERA in baseball, the best in the AL. The Yankees, despite all the moves they've made, all the guys who have racked up all-star seasons as closers and 30-plus save seasons,
yeah,
Doval, Bednar, Weaver. I'm missing Williams. Somebody else. Thank you, Williams.
Well, they didn't add him this year, but you know, they added him at the beginning of the
their
year.
Their bullpen's 23rd in bullpen ERA. And really, the only guy who's been halfway decent, and he gave up a run last night, is Bednar. All the other guys have been terrible.
And they only have one lefty, so they're like ineffective, plus they can't even really play the matchup game, so which is such a benefit to the Red Sox. I mean, funny.
That was the real failure with Boone, and Will said this, and he's right. The real failure from Boone was you're getting Freed out who's rolling. You're going to a righty. Cora's waiting all game to get his lefties in there. He's got all the lefties lined up on his bench because he started with all righties minus Duran last night.
Yep.
So that played right into the Red Sox hands, which was moronic.
Mm-hmm.
The underrated one, and now I got to pull these numbers up again.
Now, what do you got?
The underrated one that Boone screwed up, and I was just looking at...
Oh, Jazz Chisholm or Rosario?
I was looking ahead to Chapman and Whitlock in like the sixth or seventh inning. I'm like... Who hits these guys? Does anybody hit these guys? They started Rosario last night, and they...
He went a smooth 0-for-3.
They let him hit against Crochet, and then they put in Chisholm as a defensive replacement, which I also agree with Will on this. That guy's a mistake waiting to happen, defensively and on the bases.
Yeah.
So I don't even know about replacing him defensively.
Yeah, it's odd.
But Rosario is like the only guy in his life who's hit Chapman.
Nice. Get him out.
Rosario in his career, 3-for-7, 2 homers, 4 RBIs, a walk, and a strikeout against Chapman.
How many guys have hit 2 homers off Chapman?
No one else on the team has hit a home run off of him.
Right, let alone 2.
In their career, he's hit 2. And Chisholm came up, or that spot in the order, which would have been Rosario's, came up in a massive spot. One out, bases loaded. You could have had a guy who's kind of owned Chapman up, and Boone screwed that up. So I don't know if he's getting any blowback on that, but that's one I noticed.
Mm-hmm.
The bullpen one, pulling Freed too early, is obvious. And, you know, I know Will's trying to be nice and not fire Aaron Boone. And I guess he's already used up all 9 of his lives. I can't imagine you lose to the Red Sox again at home and he keeps his job. I can't imagine he keeps his job.
Yeah, I think it's like specifically who it's versus is what could be. I mean, obviously there'd be a lot of pressure on him if he lost in the first round to Detroit. But I feel like losing to the Red Sox and seeing this, like you lose again to them. They also look like they might be passing you by because they're doing it with such a young roster, too, where it's like it's
correct.
Their time. Like it's actually a little early for them. Maybe they shouldn't even be in this position.
The Red Sox are without their best hitter.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking Devers. I'm talking Anthony.
Now, they could argue, well, Garrett Cole's hurt.
Good point. That's you fair. Know, that's fair.
Good, historically pretty, really good against the Red Sox.
Well,
no, I was going to say, the Red Sox happen to own him.
Yeah.
And he's hit or miss, although he's a little bit better in the postseason than some people lead on. But either way, I guess you could lean on that. And I don't know if they have somebody in mind that they want to take over, but you'd think this would be it. I mean, last year, I guess he probably, because of how far they went, that he might have saved his job, but he still didn't cap it off. You know, like it's been a while. They won the World Series in 2009, you know, and Boone's been there, what, since 2018. So, yeah, I would think it would be over if he loses tonight for Boone, but I thought it was over two years ago.
2018 was his first year. So this, if they lose the series, and look, Yankees could still win tonight, and then the Red Sox don't even have a starter for Game 3. So it could still turn. But if he loses, he would have lost 3 series to the Red Sox. He's never won anything. It's the Yankees, like Will said. I mean, Steinbrenner already, we wouldn't let him manage Game 2 if Steinbrenner was still with us.
Yeah.
Real quick, because this text keeps coming in over and over and over again.
All right.
Nick Sogard equals Jones's doppelganger.
A little bit.
Are we seeing? Is that a thing?
Yeah, Brian, that's some...
If your hair was super long, maybe.
Yeah, you got to grow it out a little bit.
Oh, like...
Sogard's
like,
got
like
a
COVID,
little...
COVID me. I had longer hair.
Yeah, Nicholas John Sogard looks a little bit like
as
Jones.
As we all did.
I could see that.
Okay, I'm not...
Let me pull up some images
here. I guess I'm not familiar with that. But Jones and Sogard. Okay. Oh, yeah, I can see that.
It's not way off.
No.
I can see why somebody would say that.
It's very insulting to him is what I would say.
Oh, yeah.
But I'll take that.
He's a big leaguer, though. He's doing fine.
I'll sign up for that right now.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. We got all your feedback here on Jones and Keith. Let's get into Game 2. Interesting lineup decisions for Cora tonight. Do you play Duran? Do you play both the catchers? They both hit Rodon on the other side. That's a dangerous game to play in October.
It's a little too dangerous.
So let's get to that coming up. Plus, the pitching matchup heavily. Advantage Red Sox, all that next.
When you can't agree on what to order or you're settling for whatever, mealtime can be a major... That's where Wonder comes in. Download the app for access to everything you're craving. Mix and match hundreds of freshly prepared dishes from menus by renowned chefs, delivered in one order. Say goodbye to compromise. From poke to pizza, it's all on Wonder. Use code WONDER50P for 50% off your first 2 orders on Wonder. Wonder, the cravings expert. Get the app today. Terms apply. See wonder.com/newcustomer for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The brief history of the wild card series, the winner of game one has won every time in advance to the division series. What do you think of that?
I mean, hopefully we can continue that. We got a tough one tomorrow again. You know, Rodon has been amazing throughout the season. They're obviously going to have their left-hander hitters in the lineup. We got Brian, who likes it here, has pitched well throughout his career, but I expect the game to be just like this one.
Grab bag! That's coming your way. Nice. 40 minutes from now.
Game two, song two. I get it.
How about
Nick.
That?
Oh, Nick! I have to explain
it. Nick! Nailed it, Nick. So that was Alex Cora on the game tonight. Bayo on the hill for the Red Sox. Should be a big advantage for them against Rodon. On the other side, Bayo, we're giving you some of these numbers when Will was on earlier this hour. And if you missed any of it, you can check it out on the Odyssey app. Use the Rewind feature and go listen on the Odyssey app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone. Free, easy. You can take it with you wherever you go. You can also listen live on the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. Bayo's had three starts against the Yankees this year.
Mm-hmm.
2-1, 189 ERA. Two starts were fantastic. Seven innings scoreless on June 15th, Red Sox win. Seven innings scoreless August 22nd, Red Sox win. And then September, and he fell off in September.
Yes.
His ERA was over 5 in September.
Yes, yes, yes.
5 innings, 4 earned, 3 home runs, bunch of walks. So which Brian Bayo are you going to get? He's been better at Yankee Stadium, Keith. He's been great at that stadium for his career. He was great there in his second start of the year against New York. So I think it's advantage Red Sox, but you hope he hasn't run into a bit of a wall, which is how he was looking like he was going to pitch in September.
Yeah, and so he's also had, what has he had for days off? He's had a little extra time, I believe.
I think that's right, because okay. Everybody, they wound up skipping everybody. I mean, obviously, Giolito didn't need to pitch in that game, and now we know he probably couldn't have pitched in that game. But yeah, everybody, I think, should get some extra time.
And that typically helps. Now, but that is something to watch. I would say even more so than just the Yankee game. I would say, all right, this is his best season in the majors by far, like a run or more on the ERA. And this is the first time this year where I feel like we've looked at Bayo on a consistent basis and been like, all right, he's kind of living up to the expectation. I forget the baby Pedro stuff, but just like he's good. He's a number two starter. Like we were going through it. There was a stretch there where Crochet, Bayo, and Giolito had three of the 8 or 9 best ERAs in the American League for starting pitchers. So that was great. But the last 5 starts have all been pretty, I don't know, average. Right, like the ERA you mentioned is 5.4, so that's even higher than average. But he's gone 5 innings, 6, 5, 4, 5 in his last 5 games pitched. So you're like, all right, you know, what does he have in the tank? I agree with Will Fleming, who joined us earlier in the hour, who says this isn't a game where you're going to mess around, though. Whether it was Bayo, Giolito, or Connolly early,
yep.
If he's struggling in the third inning, they're not going to be like, let's see if he can figure it out, like you might do a month ago. You're not going to do that. Entire bullpen outside of Chapman is rested. This is a we don't have to play tomorrow type of game. So if he's good, great. Obviously, we'll all take that. But if he isn't, don't expect him to be in there very long.
Yeah. You know, I think I heard Lou say this morning, and Will echoed some of this when Lou was on with Greg, that, yeah, if you get 5 innings out of Bayo, you're going to feel pretty good about that.
I'll take 5.
The whole bullpen's ready to go tonight.
I'll take 5. A popular candy around this time of
year. I like that. That's a good candy bar. I don't remember where that came in on our tiers. I think that was on our tiers.
Yeah.
Take 5.
It had to be.
Good one. Probably pretty high.
Yeah, people like it. People are excited about it. But I'd absolutely take 5. And then From there, though, it'll be, you know, this is what you pay Cora for. Like, let's see how he pieces together those those final four innings.
I said it going into yesterday. It's a big series for the Cora people. Mm-hmm. And last night, score one for Alex Cora and his fans, of which there are many, because last night was a masterclass. Rodon tonight for the Yankees. 1-2 this year against the Sox. ERA approaching six. A lot of walks, 10-15 2/3.
Which is so much worse than what he's been against everybody else. He's an all-star this year. His ERA is in the low threes, and then he gets smashed by the Sox.
His last start, so he's the inverse of Bayo. His last start was pretty good against the Red Sox, though. So make of that what you will. I think it's going to be roughly the same lineup tonight. Empty out the righties. Have your lefties ready to go for when you get to the right-handed heavy bullpen for the Yankees, whenever that is. Seventh inning, eighth inning, ninth inning. Maybe earlier than that if Rodon doesn't have it. Duran, as we highlighted, has been miserable against Rodon.
Yeah,
not
it's tough.
Not as bad as Freed, but he's 2-for-16, 5 strikeouts. He doesn't hit lefties, hasn't at all. This year he's hit righties very well, doesn't hit lefties. So I'm not saying he's useless. Would you start him in this game, Keith? And then the question that goes with that is, if you don't start him, who goes in? Ref Snyder has hit Rodon. He's 6-of-17 with a homer. Narvaez is 3-for-6 with a homer. Wong is 4-for-10 with a homer. So both your catchers have hit this guy.
So I can't play both catchers. It's too risky.
Dangerous in a playoff game.
Those guys do have good career numbers against him, but I'm not doing that.
Well, let's stick with that for a second. Okay. Narvaez or Wong? Wong typically catches Bayo. What do you do there?
I think I'd still go with Narvaez. I think I don't have to dig into it. I know it's mostly Wong, but it's not like it's only Connor Wong. Like
I'll get you the splits if you want. Let me know
on that, just because if it's really drastic, maybe that would sway my decision if he's that much more comfortable. Although it didn't seem like he was all that comfortable watching the clubhouse when he was screaming at Connor Wong for calling two-seamers.
It seemed like he hated Connor Wong in the clubhouse.
I know,
I agree.
That's why I was like, all right,
that is true.
Maybe go with Narvaez. It provides a little bit more of a pop. So I think it's too risky to play both catchers. It also allows for you later in the game to maybe pinch run. You know, let's say Narvaez gets a double late in the game, and it's a game time or game winning run. All right, well, now you can take him out. You don't have to worry about messing all around. I think I would probably
you want the numbers quick. They're close. You're right.
Okay.
Actually, he's got better numbers with Narvaez.
So case closed.
Six appearances anyway, almost 30 innings, lower ERA, 3.07, compared to 23 games, almost 140 innings, 3.41. So he's actually been slightly better with Narvaez.
Now, there's clearly a comfort zone there. I mean, that's way more innings with Connor Wong. But for the playoffs, I would go with Narvaez. And I think I would have the same lineup. Because if you took Jaron Duran out, what would you do? Put in Abreu?
Yes.
Okay, so another lefty, but... Yeah, I guess you would do
Abreu,
that.
Abreu hasn't faced Rodon, I don't believe.
No.
But if you're talking about the defense, and this is what Will said earlier, like you want somebody in there for their defense. Yeah. Well, isn't Abreu the better defender?
Yeah, he is. But then I guess what would your outfield...
Yeah, but he plays right, not left.
So right. That's what I'm saying.
No, I understand that. So, but like if Ref Snyder's playing either way, right, for instance, if he's in there either way...
But he's your DH. Oh, you'd stick him out in the outfield?
Who was in right last night for Abreu?
Wasn't it Eaton?
Yeah, Nate Eaton.
Oh, it was. Nate Eaton was in right field. Sorry, so I was thinking that was Ref Snyder. So, yeah, so could you play Eaton in left field? I guess this is my question. Like, if you're leaning into the defense, either play Eaton or Ref Snyder out there, the other one DHs, and if you're leaning in on the defense to Abreu, although...
I think I'd lead Duran in there.
Now you're talking about a teeny tiny right field and things like this, but...
I'd have him maybe bunt.
Yeah.
Have him try to bunt for a base hit. Maybe flip-flop him and Rafaela, have, you know, Duran hit eighth instead of seventh. Maybe it's one less turn or something like that. But I'd probably keep the same players in the lineup.
All I know... I forgot how fun this is because the Red Sox never play big games. And they haven't been in the playoffs in forever. And it's like, it's fun to go through and be like, what's this guy's splits against that guy?
It's fun.
Think the game out for late in the game. And I think, you know, Keith, credit to us. We did quite a job yesterday.
We crushed it.
Foreshadowing a lot of what Alex Cora was going to do late in the game.
Uh-huh.
And so that is fun to do. Do you get Duran in there? Which catcher do you go with? You can't play both, although they both have very good numbers against Rodon. And how do the Red Sox... eliminate the Yankees tonight, because you want them to eliminate the Yankees tonight. 617-779-7937. Haven't talked a lot of Pats today. Mike Vrabel is scheduled to speak at any moment. You'll hear from him live coming up, and we'll give you more Red Sox thoughts next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio.
T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.